Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, First Class, 30 June, 2024, Romans.
All right, before we get started, there were two birthdays this last Thursday, two birthdays, Dodie and E. Miley. And they have their birthdays at this time of the year for fireworks to go off at their birthday party. So, happy birthday to you ladies. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Romans chapter 7. Romans 7. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have graced us out with one more day of freedom in Client Nation, USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of your word to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, Vacation Bible School is over for this year. Friday was the last day of VBS, the grand finale, and everyone returned, so we had 28 children Friday. They started out with a breakfast buffet. They all got to pick out a rock to represent how God is immutable, and a tiny Bible to represent his veracity, and to add these to their essence of God box. Tyrone stopped by for breakfast. He got sick, so he's not here this morning. And he wanted to experience song time firsthand. They sang, "My God is so big," "Standing on the promises of God," and of course, "Going on a bear hunt." Sherry said the little class went well, and many of the children remembered what each attribute of God was. Daria did a great job teaching God is immutable and veracity. And she also went through each attribute and how you can apply these to problems in your life. A couple of the children brought up a problem of people being annoying. Amen. Darius said, yes, people can be a problem. And she used God's love, righteousness, and justice to show how to deal with people problems. And she also made sure they understood rebound. It's kind of fun. One of the young men came back when he had his Bible. They're so excited having their own Bible. Came back and he had the bookmark at, he says, this is where I got this mark at, 1 John 1:9. I said, that's a great verse. Read it to me. And he read it. I said, you want to use, keep that one all the time, that you're going to use that every single day. She also made sure they understood rebound, and they all received a Bible to take home along with their Essence of God box. And then finally over to the water park, and the children had a blast. We came back to the church where Chris and Sammy graciously provided pizza lunch for the entire group. Then Tim ate it all. So we thank you very much for your graciousness. The children were so excited when they heard they were having pizza. It was a blessing for each one of us, and I know there are so many stories to share. And we have a soul full of fragrant memories. Keep these children and their families in your prayers. To God's power. What a wonderful time at Vacation Bible School. And that's the whole thing. It's all accomplished by the grace and power of God. Only God works in people's hearts and brings them to where they can hear the grace gospel and basic doctrinal truth from the Word of God. And he has done that again and again and again in the time that this ministry has been here. And all you have to do is go out in the hallway and look at the boards and see all the different years of all these kids that God has brought to Upland Bible Church, to Vacation Bible School, to hear the good news of the grace gospel and basic doctrine. There will be many, many of these. They won't be children anymore. They'll be adults. But I'm sure they'll remember and come up and say, I was at Vacation Bible School. This is when we're in heaven. And many, many have believed in Christ as their Savior. And I've heard other churches, even so-called, even doctrinal churches, say, oh, we don't even have that anymore because nobody ever comes anymore. Well, all I know is if you are prepared and you're doing the right thing, God will provide the hearers. You just be prepared. You make sure you're living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. You make sure you're having virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. And you have, every one of us, we have a ministry of reconciliation and a royal ambassadorship as a commission to present Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. It is a great honor and a great privilege. And all you have to do is to be available by your own positive volition. And you do that. God will provide. And I've seen it again and again and again and again. And it's the grace and power of God. To God goes the glory. It isn't because of who and what we are. It's totally because of who and what God is. Now, there's one other announcement. This is for those of you who cannot read. The schedule changes this week. Classes are Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. That means there's no classes on Thursday, Independence Day, the 4th of July. So classes will be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You have Thursday the 4th for you to do whatever you like to do. And then we'll have classes again on Sunday. And on Sunday, that'll be Communion Sunday, next Sunday. All right? Okay, Romans chapter 7. Now, Romans is a phenomenal book. It was one of the earlier ones that the Apostle Paul, the human author, wrote. And he covered so many important doctrines in it. And he went into it in great detail. He went through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Romans chapter 6, retroactive and current positional truth. He taught it in great, great detail. And then when you get to Romans chapter 7, he's talking about the war that's going on inside of every believer. We all have a war going on inside between the sin nature and God the Holy Spirit. And he amplifies, defines in great detail all about this war in Romans chapter 7. He uses the whole chapter. Now, he wrote Romans early. Later on, he wrote Galatians. And in Galatians 5, 16, and 17, he gave the summary of what he taught in great detail in Romans chapter 7. So we are in Romans chapter 7, 15 to 25. We have the attacks of the sin nature, the ex-husband, and the great war inside of you that results. And we have first of all studied Romans 7, 15 to 17, the first attack. The first attack of the sin nature, the ex-husband, Romans 7, 15 to 17. So we've exegeted that. Let's take a look at it. Verse 15. For what is working out of me, what I am producing, sin, human good, and evil, I do not understand. For what I desire and wish and want to do, these things I am not practicing or accomplishing. But what I hate, what I detest, these things I keep on doing. Now, if I keep on doing this very thing that I absolutely do not desire or want to do, I agree with the Mosaic Law that the Mosaic Law is honorable, praiseworthy, and unobjectionable. Verse 17. But in this situation, I am no longer the one performing it, but the sin nature which keeps on living in me. This summarizes the first attack of our former husband, the old sin nature. And even though at salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, we are divorced from the sin nature, our first husband, through the baptism of the Spirit, retroactive positional truth, identification with Christ in his death and burial, which we studied in great detail in Romans chapter 6, he still lives in our body. At salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, we're married to our new husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. And through the baptism of the Spirit, current positional truth, identification with Christ in his resurrection, ascension, and session at the right hand of the Father, now we are indwelt by God the Holy Spirit as our new marriage counselor. And now we have a great inner conflict between the sin nature and God the Holy Spirit. And when the Apostle Paul is amplifying in great detail this war between the sin nature and the Spirit, he summarizes it when he writes Galatians in Galatians 5, 16, and 17. So let's look at the summary that he makes. Galatians 5, 16, and 17. So I say, and then we have peripateo in the imperative, which is a mandate. This isn't an option. This is a mandate. Walk by the Spirit. Live your life by the power of God the Holy Spirit. And you will not gratify the lust patterns of the sin nature. For the sin nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit what is contrary to the sin nature. They are at war with each other, so that you do not do what you want to do. Romans 7, verse 17, and look at that again, verse 17. But in this situation, I am no longer the one performing it, but it, the old sin nature which keeps on living in me. It almost sounds like Paul says, it's not my fault, it's that lousy old sin nature fault, see. So Romans 7, 17 does not imply that we are not responsible for our sin, human good, and evil that we commit. Our volition is always involved when we succumb to the temptations of the sin nature with its lust patterns and commit sin, human good, and evil. No one ever commits a sin, known or unknown, without the involvement of his volition. You have a free will, and that is the guardian of your soul, a free will. Now, as you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, as you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and get maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart, then when these temptations come up to the guardian of your soul, your volition, you have motivation. Motivation from the filling of the Spirit, motivation from metabolized doctrine in the heart, motivation from the fact that you now love Jesus Christ, that He's the most important love of your life, and there's no way in hell you want to go back to what you were doing before. So when the lust pattern, the temptation come up, you say no. And the more you grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ, the easier it is to say no. When you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, personal love for God the Father, personal love for Jesus Christ, the great motivating virtues, you'll say no, no, no. And it's easier and easier. You can say, you know what? I've been there and I've done that. And I've gone through God spanking me. Warning discipline, intensive discipline. I don't know, maybe some of you have been through dying discipline. I don't know. But you finally woke up. And you just say, I'm not going there. I love my Lord too much. Oh, the temptation can come up. And you have, in temptation, you don't rebound temptation. If you did that, that's all you'd be doing 24/7. So you don't rebound temptations. It's when you say yes to the temptation. But you have a volition. The buck stops with each one of us. Stops with you. You decide. No one ever commits a sin, known or unknown, without the involvement of his free will, his volition. Volition is your part. Lust is the sin nature's part. Paul is not denying the involvement of his volition, but he is renouncing the function of the sin nature living in his human body. Only the filling of the Spirit and metabolized doctrine in your heart can offset the solicitation and seduction of the sin nature towards sin, human good, and evil. The believer who is living the spiritual life, filled with the Spirit, getting maximum metabolized doctrine in his heart, understands the issue. You understand the problem. You know this. You know all about this war. You know what's going on inside of you. And you have the grace and the truth of God's word in your heart to handle it. Therefore, he puts himself under authority to the Lord Jesus Christ, his new husband, and renounces and rejects the ex-husband, the sin nature. As we live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, as we grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, the more we will avoid the temptations and seduction of the sin nature. Now that brings us to Romans 7, verses 18 to 20, and this is the second attack of the ex-husband, the sin nature. The second attack, Romans 7, 18 to 20. Romans 7, 18 starts out, we always start with the King James Version, for I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. We have the postpositive conjunction gar, plus the verb oida, plus the conjunction ha ti with the prepositional phrase and plus the dative singular of the personal pronoun ego, plus the present active indicative of oikeo with the objective negative ouk, the accusative singular of agathos, the nominative neuter singular of the demonstrative pronoun houtos with the present active indicative of eimi, and the prepositional phrase and plus the dative singular of sarx and the genitive singular of the personal pronoun ego. Now I know you all got all that down, right? Okay. All right. Postpositive conjunction gar. That's a great happy birthday there. Look at that. Gar. G-A-R. Gar. Now, this use of gar, this is the emphatic use of gar. Emphatic use of gar, and it may be correctly translated indeed, or certainly, or in fact, and we will translate it in fact. And then the verb oida. And we've had this, for those of you who are faithful and consistent, you know oida, old friend, O-I-D-A, oida. Oida is a frozen form. It's a perfect used as a present. So here's the principle. Oida says, I learned Bible doctrine in the past with the result that I know the truth now. Namely, that there is no intrinsic goodness in my sin nature. That's what this is saying. Oida says, I have learned Bible doctrine in the past with the result that I know the truth now in the present. Namely, that there is no intrinsic goodness in my sin nature with its lust patterns. And then the conjunction ha-ti, you say, I know, that's a causal conjunction. Well, yeah, it is sometimes, but not here. H-O-T-I. It is a causal conjunction many, many times, but not when it follows verbs of dicendi. And oida, which means to know, is a verb of dicendi. And therefore, ha-ti is used to introduce an object clause, and is correctly translated that. It introduces what the Apostle Paul knows about his sin nature, namely, that there is nothing intrinsically good in his sin nature. And then the objective negative, ouk with agathos. Look like that in the Greek and in the English. Ook. Ook is the objective negative. It slams the door. Absolutely nothing. And then with that, ook is agathos. A-G-A-T-H-O-S. And that means intrinsically good. Something that is intrinsically good. So the corrected translation is that absolutely nothing, intrinsically good. And then the verb oikeo. O-I-K-E long O. Oikeo. This is the verb. The noun oikos is house. Oikeo is living in the house. Oikeo. So let's get a couple of points. One, oikeo means to live. To live in a house. To dwell in a house. To have one's habitation. To reside in a house. That's literally. Point two, and plus the dative singular of ego is in me. Resides, lives in me. And then three, the problem, therefore the problem is inside of each one of us. The problem is inside of each one of us. And you, as you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and you learn the Romans 6 and Romans 7, you learn these things, you metabolize it, you understand the problem. You know the problem. You know there's a war going on. Okay, there's a war going on. I got this lousy old sin nature in here with lust patterns that keeps sending up, trying to get me to commit these sins. And you understand that's the issue. But you also know I love my Lord too much. No, I'm not going back there. I'm not going back where I was before. That's it. I've had enough with warning discipline, intensive discipline. I want to advance on and glorify my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to the maximum. And so, point three, the problem is inside of each one of us. Four, specifically, the problem is the sin nature, which resides in the human body. Specifically, the problem is the sin nature which resides in the human body. So we all have a problem. Sin nature still residing in the human body, still sending up temptations from its lust patterns. Five, there is absolutely nothing agathos in the sin nature. There's absolutely nothing intrinsically good in the sin nature which resides in our human body. Absolutely nothing intrinsically good, agathos, in the sin nature which resides in our human body. And now the Apostle Paul explains exactly what he means by in me. We have the neuter singular of the near demonstrative pronoun houtos with the verb a me. And when you have those together, it is tout estin. That's literally how it looks. T-O-W-A-C. Same Greek and E-S-T-I-N. Tout estin. Sounds like when you've had too many refried beans, you know. You've been tooting estin. Arndt and Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 601, tells us that tout estin is a special idiom. And it's correctly translated, that is, or that means. And then the preposition and plus the dative singular of sarx with the genitive singular of ego. Ente sarki mu is how it looks. That's the phrase right there. There's the preposition and there's the dative of the definite article, T long E. Sark's in the dative, S-A-R-K-I, and ego in the genitive, M-O-U. Ente sarki mu. Mu. And ente sarki mu means in my flesh or in my sin nature. The word sarx is the Greek word for the sin nature. It's literally flesh. It figuratively refers to the sin nature. So, corrected translation. In fact, I know that absolutely nothing intrinsically good resides in me, that is, in my sin nature. There you have it. Now, again, in fact, I know that absolutely nothing intrinsically good resides in me, that is, in my sin nature. Okay, now, one. Paul understands the problem. Paul understands the problem. Do you understand the problem? You should. After being here and studying and learning and metabolizing Romans chapter 7, you should understand the problem too. Paul understands the problem too. He knows that the sin nature resides in his human body. He knows that the sin nature resides in his human body. Three, and he knows that there is absolutely nothing intrinsically good in the sin nature. He knows that there is absolutely nothing intrinsically good in the sin nature. And you know, the lust pattern sends up lust. And oh, with this, here comes the mantra, if it feels good, do it. And all of you have made bad decisions to follow the lust pattern of the sin nature. If it feels good, do it, and you do it. You turn your soul over to the old sin nature. Now the sin nature is controlling your soul, not God the Holy Spirit. And you've entered into Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. And if you stay there, you just keep living there, well, then you will go through divine discipline, warning discipline, if you don't wake up, intensive discipline, if you don't wake up, dying discipline. God doesn't want you to crash and burn. When God the Father designed Operation Grace, the cross, he did this for a world that was spiritually dead, totally depraved, no damn good. But out of his infinite virtue love, impersonal love for all, he designed Operation Grace, the cross. And in that plan of Operation Grace, the cross, it required the second person of the Trinity, the eternal Son of God, to leave heaven, take on true humanity through the incarnation and virgin birth, and go to a cross. And then God the Father gathered up the sins of the whole world and imputed them to Christ. And then he judged them in Jesus Christ. He did that because God's not willing that any should die, but that all should come to repentance. Unlimited atonement. Jesus Christ paid the penalty for every sin of mankind. God would love to see everyone believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And that's why He poured out the sins of the whole world. Not just the sins of a few who would believe in Christ, but He poured out the sins of the whole world. Everyone is savable. All you have to do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith alone and Christ alone, apart from any and all works. That's God's grace plan for the world. Now, everybody has a free will. Everybody has a volition. You're free to believe the grace gospel, believe in Jesus Christ, have the gift of eternal life, have God's imputed righteousness imputed to you, establishing a grace pipeline. And when you believe in Christ, God imputes His righteousness to you. There's a grace pipeline. Why? Because God's plan for you after salvation, He wants to bless you. He wants to bless you with blessings and blessings and blessings and blessings from salvation till physical death or the rapture, whichever comes first. God wants to bless you. He doesn't want to spank you and discipline you. He doesn't want to see you crash and burn. He wants you to have blessing. Blessing. And He starts you out and you don't even know it. 40 salvation blessings instantly. You don't even know it. And then you find that God guides you to a sound doctrinal teaching church, and you get in, you start learning and metabolizing the Word of God. You start learning that God did these things. Then you learn that there's logistical grace, blessing, and support, temporal security to keep me alive in the middle of the devil's world. The devil's running the show. Right now, the devil's running the show. And just look at America. The devil's running the show. Look at the world. The devil's running the show. So He gives us logistical grace, blessing and support, temporal security to keep us alive in the middle of the devil's world so we can make good decisions. Good decisions to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. To live the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. To have virtue, love brought to completion in our heart. And when that occurs, the ultimate objective, when that occurs, now God sends down that pipeline, greater grace blessing. Greater grace blessing. Every day while you're here in time, greater grace blessing in time, and greater grace blessings that will be awarded to you at the judgment seat of Christ that will glorify God forever and ever and ever. That's what God wants for you. God has the greatest plan. And you know, man is so arrogant, man thinks his plans are better than God's plans. Your plans are not better than God's plan. God's plan is a perfect plan, the best plan possible. And when you execute God's plan, will, and purpose for your life, when you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, God will send down that grace pipeline. Greater grace blessing beyond anything you could imagine or think. Greater grace blessing every day. See, the plan of God is not when you believe in Christ, that's it. A lot of Christians think, oh, I believe in Christ. I've done everything I need to do. No, at the moment you believe in Christ, God puts you in a spiritual marathon. We're all in a spiritual marathon, from salvation till physical death or the rapture. A spiritual marathon. And He wants you now to grow up spiritually, to attain spiritual maturity. because he wants to send down to you greater grace blessings above and beyond anything you could ever ask or think. And when that is true, you will have Christmas every single day. And that's what God wants for you. God wants all of you to have Christmas every day. Do you have Christmas every day? He wants you to have Thanksgiving every single day. Do you have Thanksgiving every single day? That's what God wants for you. He wants to bless you and bless you and bless you with greater grace blessings. He wants you to have Christmas every single day. He wants you to have Thanksgiving every single day. And he provides for that. And when you attain spiritual adulthood, you are also qualified in that greater grace blessing package. In that greater grace blessing package, he has something that's really totally unique. Suffering for blessing. Suffering for blessing. Only for the winner believers. Not for the loser believers. Not for those making bad decisions to live in Satan's cosmic system. For the winner believer. And he will provide for you. You'll have the Apostle Paul receive the thorn in the flesh. And it's defined for us. Paul defined that thorn in the flesh was a demon. A demon that was assigned to Paul to just beat the crap out of him. Day after day after day, Paul had tremendous suffering for blessing. It was so intense and so horrible, he prayed 3 times that God would take it away. And God said, no, no, no. And then God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. And that's true for every one of you. God's grace is sufficient for you. God has given us the precisely correct procedure to clear the hurdles of suffering for blessing. Suffering for blessing is getting to run the hurdles. You all get to run the hurdles, not just Pastor Olson. You all get to run the hurdles. And he's given you the precisely correct procedure to clear the hurdles and to win the race. And that precisely correct procedure is God's problem-solving devices. And Paul got it. And we will be studying that in our Wednesday night class when we get to chapter 12. Not to worry. It won't be this week, but we'll get there. And if we don't do it before the rapture, I'll teach it in heaven. It's a great, great, great study. What an honor, what a privilege. There are very few believers today that even qualify for suffering for blessing, that unique part of the greater grace blessing package for the winner believer. Suffering for blessing. God wants to bless you. The plan of God is that he wants to bless you. What's the last point I gave there? I can't see. I know, but you're going like this. When you go like this, it looks like one. Guy go, three? Three. He knows that there is absolutely nothing intrinsically good in the sin nature. And it's halftime. So not to worry. Come back and we'll get point 4. Take our break.